I promise that I would use 2 more minutes from my talk to all this, so we could go over time. Okay, well, thank you for being at this in this session, so not in the other sessions, and I have another talk with my former postdoc. Well, so in May, I submitted a title of this of my presentations to the society, and I have to confess that I have never checked those emails which I'm getting from the chair, and I apologize for that. And so when I came here, so and I signed up for posters, so I brought a poster, as you can see. And you can also see that I made a poster in the wrong size, not paying attention again. And so So Sunday evening after the mixer, I went to my hotel room and I decided that I would restructure that and go to the Kinko's to print the right size. But before that, I checked the program and I found out that I have a talk here. So this is my poster. I put a lot of effort in it, as you can see. And you can see also that I assembled a good team of people, very diverse. So it's me from Southern California, then Miroslav Sena in Prague, Rin van Genuchten, who famously has office a few blocks from Copacabana, and then 2 people from the Middle East, Naftali Lazarovich from Israel, and Maziar Kandelus, who is from Iran. I can understand that you can't see all the details of that, and so I will zoom on individual parts now. You can see I started in the corner on the right. No, I had enough time to change that in the presentation. So this is the presentation, and I wanted to talk about the special boundary conditions which we developed for hydrous for irrigation systems. If you search the literature recently, so you would see that there were quite a lot of publications involving different irrigation systems, especially drip irrigation. And so we try to make the code more useful for these types of applications to have more boundary conditions which are more applicable to these special systems. And so I want to talk mainly about these 3 boundary conditions which we implemented. So dynamic evaluation of the wetted area for drip irrigation, then specialized characteristic function for subsurface drip, and then triggered irrigation. So first of all, subsurface drip irrigation. In most codes, the options you have is that you can specify head or flux boundary conditions, but they are not really dynamically changing. And for the drip irrigation, it's obvious you start dripping at one point, eventually you get ponding, and then that ponding area increases with time. So we implemented a relatively simple routine which can handle that. So we apply the flux to the single node initially. We evaluate how much water can infiltrate in that node. And if it can infiltrate, then we leave the flux boundary. If it cannot, then we switch to the head boundary condition. We calculate how much water can infiltrate in that area. And we take all the excess water and put it to the neighboring node. And we can actually quite dynamically evaluate that. So this is how you would see that in the software. So you select that boundary condition, then you select the node to which you apply the flux, and then depending on the geometry, you can have axisymmetrical geometry, so you start in one node and the wetted area goes only in one direction, or you can have it in the middle, etc. So I wonder whether this will work. I put here the animation directly from Hydrus, and it's not gonna work. And I expected that, so I have here just the shots from that animation. So you basically see how that wetted area increases with time. Obviously, the depth too, but the boundary condition is actually changing with time. Okay, the second thing which we did implement was this special option for the subsurface drip. So here, if you apply flux at certain depths, so what happened very often is that this flux is larger than what can infiltrate into the soil profile, and then the back pressure develops in the soil, and then the dripper has to overcome that back pressure. And then I'm really not expert in that, but there are different types of drippers, some which are so-called compensated, I believe, which can compensate for that, some which are uncompensated, which is most of them, and then the recharge will dramatically decrease as a result of this back pressure. And then the back pressure, obviously, is a result of the hydraulic properties of the soil, conductivity, etc. So some of the drippers, at least from the better companies, they come with this characteristic function, which has the nominal recharge, and then the actual recharge is the function of that back pressure, and then there is some characteristic of that dripper. So we put that simple equation into Hydrus, and Naftali Lazarovich, he evaluated that experimentally. So he ran an experiment with the drippers with different discharge and measured what was the development of that bad back pressure and what was the reduction of the discharge. And you can see here both the measurements as well as the model, well, Hydrus model predictions. I'd like to draw your attention to this paper, which we published just in last issue of Soil Science of America. There is often an issue how to simulate the subsurface drip system. You can simulate it as an infinite line source, and then it's simple two-dimensional problem, or you can simulate that as an axisymmetrical system, so it's a single source problem, then you can simulate that as an axisymmetrical system, or obviously you can simulate that as a full three-dimensional problem. And so in this paper we tried to look at all these three different approaches and discuss when to use which one. Okay, the next one what we implemented is so-called irrigation scheduling, where you can initiate trigger irrigation based on the conditions in the system. So the user can select certain location in the root zone. Let's say you have a tension meter there, and once the pressure head drops below a predefined, again, user-defined pressure head, then the system or the model will trigger irrigation. And you can define, first of all, where the irrigation will be triggered. So it can be triggered at the surface if you have sprinkler irrigation. It can be triggered on the variable head or variable flux boundary if you have drippers, etc. So you can select that. You can specify the rate or the head and also lag period, so you don't have to start that irrigation right away because of the technical issues and so on, and also the duration. This is how it's implemented. Again, in Hydrus, you probably know who uses it, that there's this boundary conditions options. So we expanded that to add multiple new tabs. So under this one, there was those drip options. So there's another one for triggered irrigation. Again, so here you can select the node which will trigger once the pressure at that node drops below a certain level. Then you can select on which boundary to apply the irrigation, and then some properties of that irrigation, flux, duration, lag, and so on. And again, Naftali did experiment, or his student, Sharon Dabach. Sharon doesn't necessarily mean a girl or a lady in Israel. It's actually a guy. And so he did experiment with the different irrigation pulses, so either 4 millimeters or 1 millimeter. And so this is the level which triggered the irrigation. And you can see once the pressure drops below that, the irrigation was triggered. And these are both data and, again, the model. This is the 1 millimeter pulses, so very small one, obviously then more frequent. You can also disallow having these triggers during the night. So that's another option. Another boundary, special boundary which we implemented and which is really not related to irrigation, is this boundary, gradient boundary condition. So in most models, it's quite difficult to specify boundaries on these sides, because you have either fluxes, heads, etc., and none of that really applies there. So a lot of people are putting there either non-flow, which is good at the top of the hill, but not really here, Or free drainage, that's certainly very wrong because free drainage is a unit gradient boundary condition, so that certainly doesn't apply here because there's not a unit gradient. Unit gradient here is here at the bottom. Some people use seepage phase, which basically means that there can be flow, but only when it's saturated. So there was really no option, good option in the older code, and so we put the gradient boundary, so we can specify gradient, which might be parallel with the slope, obviously. So we implemented all this in the version 2 of Hydrus. And since I have three more minutes, I'll give you some more information what's in that version. So first of all, you can handle here completely general three-dimensional geometries. In the older versions, you could have only layered systems, so you could specify general 2D, but then you had to build it up. So now you can have completely general three-dimensional systems defined either by planar surfaces or curved surfaces, and you can let your imagination run wild. You can really handle any types of geometries you may want. Another, what I'm sure people will appreciate, is that you can specify initial boundary conditions and properties on geometrical objects rather than on the mesh. So if you have a mesh and you need to remesh, you don't lose all that information because it's specified independently of the mesh on the object, so boundaries here and so on. We also support the parallelized version of Hydrus, so you can run it on supercomputers. This was developed by Harry Fracken's group in Jülich. It's a parallelized version of our early Hydrus early predecessor of Hydrus SWMS3D. And so in Hydrus GUI, you can create your inputs, then you can click the command import export to ParsVim, then you can take it to the parallelized supercomputer or cluster, and you can run it there. Then you can bring the results back to Hydrus. These parallelized systems, usually each processor writes its own output, so Hydrus will take it and combine that and presents the results. So that's another option. We also implemented the UNCHAPCHEM module, so you can simulate major ion chemistry, development of salinity in 2D that was previously available only in 1D. We have new wetland module where you can have both aerobic and anaerobic processes and so on. And my final picture here is a few years ago I was in Japan on the invitation of my colleagues, and we modeled flow in this giant Buddha statue. And at that time, the best we can do was assume that Buddha is axisymmetrical, and so we simulated flow in that. But you see, this is the progress. So in Hydrus now, you can really define Buddha in the full beauty of it. So we are not going in that direction like at Sadiki to handle the continental scale. We go straight to the universal scale. That's all I have. Thank you. So if somebody wants the poster.